Hello. By chance or design, you've found your way to one of our series of Scottish and European crucible podcasts, exploring and celebrating the many Scottish and European crucibles, their participants, or as we like to call them now, alumni, and the impact the former has had on the latter's lives and careers. Today, we've three Scottish crucibleists from three different years. All now professors. There's Emily Combe, Professor of Human Nutrition at the University of Glasgow and Director of SCAF, the Scottish Alliance for Food. There's Mirla Dilibegovic, Professor in Diabetes Physiology and Signalling at the University of Aberdeen and Research Director of the Aberdeen Cardiovascular and Diabetes Centre. And Robin Sloan, Professor of Game Design and Culture at Abertay University. We're going to start by asking each of them about how they got involved in Crucible in the first place, how they found out about it, what made them decide to take part, and where they were in their academic career when they applied. And Mirla, I'm going to start with you because I think you were part of the very first ever Scottish Crucible back in 2009.
Yes, that's right. In 2009, we got an email, a random email. It was described as Scottish Crucible being for bright and creative thinkers. And I just thought that sounded really exciting. At that time, I had just started up my own lab. I had done a 4-year postdoc in Boston and came back to UK as a faculty member in a tenure track position. And I just thought, well, this sounds quite exciting. I wanted to meet like-minded people. So I made an application and I actually just found my original application before we spoke. And what I was looking for, it asked, one of the questions said, where do you see yourself in 10 years' time? And I think reflecting back now, I think Crucible has helped me achieve a lot more, but we can talk about that later.
Exactly. We will get on to where you are now. You already had a yen towards interdisciplinarity, did you? You were looking not just to meet people who were from the same sector as you, but from other areas.
Absolutely. One of the things I had put in my application is that I was looking for people such as mathematicians and people who were thinking slightly differently to me and wanting to make impact in policy and social behavior as well. So interdisciplinarity was something that I had heard of, but I had not experienced prior to my Crucible experience.
Excellent. Now, Emily, I think you were a couple of years later, 2011, so you at least had the advantage over Mirla that you probably could hear testimony from previous participants.
I think that's right. Although I don't think I knew anyone on two cohorts that had been on the Crucible before mine. So I think I saw the website and I saw this kind of group of people who looked all fairly happy together in the website picture. And I think what really appealed was the notion that all those people were from extremely different disciplines and sectors, and they were all coming together at this kind of stage in their career. It was all early career people really starting on the journey together. And I think that came as a very strong vision for the program. This notion of you build a cohort of people and you will be not with them, but around each other for the rest of your career. And I think that really kind of carries through the program really, really nicely. So when I joined, I think I'd just about been appointed as a lecturer in nutrition, but that's not my academic background. So I changed discipline a couple of times before that. So I was in this kind of space where there was a lot of transition, there was a lot of new questions, and obviously starting a lab is stressful. You're in that new environment. Crucible was very, very good in putting me in the vicinity of other people who lived through the similar challenges, basically.
Yes, I'm interested that you say about the photograph being a deciding factor because I've hosted various of these crucibles and you always gather together for a group photo at the end and the photographer says smile and I always think whatever happens to those photos, but if they're actually encouraging the next cohort to sign up, then they're performing a very useful function. Robin, you're the most recent of our trio today, 2015.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like I'm the most recent. It feels like quite a long time ago to me now. So I was actually encouraged to apply by my PhD supervisor who had been a part of Scottish Crucible. I was already post-PhD at this stage. I'd started my academic career. I think I was 2 or 3 years post-PhD and I'd already started lecturing. And I think I was at that stage because I work in a field that is very vocational, very teaching focused. those first 2 or 3 years of my academic career, I'd kind of pivoted into kind of almost full-time teaching because of the nature of game design and creative practice. That's a lot of what we do, spend our time in the labs working with students, which is great. But the raising of Scottish Crucible by my supervisor with me kind of reminded me that I've trained as a researcher as well, and I had to reconnect with that. And my PhD was an interdisciplinary PhD, so my background is art and design. I was a game developer prior to doing my PhD, but I undertook a PhD that was across psychology, animation, and design, my own field. And I really saw you mentioned the photographs. I saw the photographs, I saw the testimonies, and I saw this cohort of people right across disciplines. I never really thought about myself as a scientist before because I'm more of a creative practitioner, but my interdisciplinary PhD kind of really opened my eyes to the kind of things we could do together. And I had a really strong interest actually in that time in science communication, because I was working so closely with people across the university who were from more traditional scientific backgrounds. And I had this idea that the kind of area that I worked in games and interactive media was really ripe for communicating science and engaging the public with science.
And it's also one of those things, whenever you bring so-called creatives and so-called scientists together, you realise there's a lot more creativity in science and a lot more science in creativity than we sometimes give credit for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was something that I was kind of aware of, but hadn't really fully appreciated until I kind of had this opportunity to engage through Scottish Crucible with such a diverse range of people.
Tricky question for you, and I realise having done quite a few of these podcasts now, although whoever's listening to this may have only heard this might be their first one, I've never got anybody to say, how would you define in just a few sentences what a crucible is? So I'm going to throw this at you, Robin, first.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough question. Glad you picked me first. The bland version, if you like, is a very advanced training, because I learned a lot in a really intense way. So it was very similar to how I see teaching generally. But really underneath the surface, it was so much more than that. It was more a facilitation of connecting people across different disciplines. But beyond that, and the thing I hadn't quite appreciated, it was the connections into other aspects of society. That if you'd asked me beforehand, how do you engage with government or how do you engage with the media as an academic, I think I would have been a bit stumped. I would have thought that someone else could maybe do that within the university or someone else's role. Maybe they're the person who's a liaison. I hadn't really quite clocked it as an academic. You've got this way of connecting into different aspects of social life. And so I think Scottish Crucible for me is it's a way of understanding your role as an academic and as a citizen, and a way of kind of feeding into the processes and decision-making and the discourse in public life.
Mirla, anything to add to or subtract to or change from that?
Well, I would say the advertised thing would be that it's a leadership development program that makes you think about the big picture. But I would describe it that it's a life-changing experience. It's not just a program. It's an experience you go through that really tests your resilience as well as your confidence and awareness of yourself and others. When I first joined in 2009, I still remember kind of finishing the first labs, so the first 2 days, and we were all back on the train to either St Andrews, Dundee or Aberdeen, and none of us were speaking anymore because we were absolutely exhausted because we were pushed to the limits. And that's why I call it a life-changing experience, really, because it really brought out the best in us and from those around us.
Emily?
So it's difficult to come after Robin and Mirella on this one, but I agree with the leadership program part, especially leadership in fostering creativity and this ability to develop and foster relationship across sector and discipline. To me, that was the key thing with, like Mirella said, this big picture ambition and keeping an eye on societal grand challenge and thinking about how everything is connected and how everyone will play a part in solving those complex challenges.
So we've said that this is a life-changing experience. Let's get on to where your changed lives are now. And we may as well start with you, Emily. You seem to have these two roles, Professor of Human Nutrition at Glasgow and Director of SCAF. Can you just say what you do in those two roles and how you divide your time between them?
So my main role is at the University of Glasgow, where I'm a professor of human nutrition, and that comes with teaching, research and administration activities. And SCAF, the Scottish Alliance for Food, is a project which is funded by the Scottish Funding Council, and it's really a vehicle to foster transdisciplinary research in the field of food. So I've got a leadership role with SCAV, which is making sure that we deliver on our commitment. And at the moment, it's taking quite a large part of my time, because I think it's a very worthwhile endeavor where we're trying to kind of really connect with other disciplines, other sectors around challenge of food.
And not just academic disciplines. I mean, this is something Robin was alluding to before about the Scottish Parliament. It's realizing how science connects with wider society.
That's right. And it's not just academic, it's also people working in government, local government, Scottish government, UK government, it's people working in charity sectors, people working in industry, members of the public who are interested and want to contribute. It's really taking this very democratic approach to doing research and stopping a little bit, listening to what other people have to say and building research projects differently.
It must have been pointed out to you that SCAF sounds like scoff, as in eating food quickly. I want to know if that is by chance or design.
It's nice and by chance, no design. I think coming up with acronyms is always challenging. And to some extent, that's the one we landed on. We wanted to be quite clear that it was something about Scotland. It's not just about Scottish researchers doing things for Scotland in Scotland, but it's very much rooted in where we are with a global outlook. There were many different acronyms, different ideas, and this one is the one that stuck. But yeah, I think anything to do with food always elicits a lot of reactions. And I think we could have picked anything. It would have brought some vivid ideas or pictures in the mind of people.
Mirila, you're now Research Director of the Aberdeen Cardiovascular and Diabetes Centre. So what does that mean you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so a little bit like Emily, she said, my day-to-day job is a professor in diabetes physiology. So I run a research group, have a number of fellows in my lab, PhD students, clinical fellows. I teach as well. But of course, the director of Aberdeen Cardiovascular Diabetes Centre, or as we like to call ourselves, ACDC, is a really quite a great job as well. So about 6 years ago, we came together to be under one umbrella of all the clinical and discovery scientists coming into ACDC, together with nutritionists, dietitians, and really trying to, just like Emily said, like address societal challenges. We want to understand what it is the patients want and patients require, and we try and answer those questions. We come together in big bids for interdisciplinary challenges. But until last year as well, I was also the Dean for Industrial Engagement and Research within the University of Aberdeen. And that was a really interdisciplinary leadership role, which kind of was a really exciting one as well. That was 50% of my time. And it was kind of trying to connect up academics and researchers with companies, with businesses, and then trying to address those questions and solutions in a really meaningful way. And it was quite an exciting job to do. As I said, last year, I stepped down from that so I can concentrate on research activities. But we have a number of projects where we run knowledge transfer partnerships as well. So working with SMEs within Scotland and within Aberdeen, trying to come up with kind of solutions in healthcare. And this is again where it kind of links back into the crucible. I don't think I would have been quite able to think in the way I think today if I hadn't been exposed early on in my kind of academic journey to people who do think differently and think, you know, okay, I'm a biochemist, pharmacologist by training, but that doesn't define me. I can actually answer much larger societal questions.
And that's an important attitudinal change. Rather than running into people who have a different frame of reference, a different background, different vocabulary, different jargon, different way of doing things, and thinking, well, this is not for me, you end up going, oh, you're different. This is interesting. Tell me more. And that encourages the development of collaborations and such like.
Absolutely. I always say to the students as well, you should go to as many talks as you can or your time affords, because you don't know what you're going to be exposed to. You know, every day is a school day. So absolutely.
And I also can't believe I didn't spot ACDC as an abbreviation as well. So that's great in there as well. Just before I move on to Robin, we should probably say that the research you're doing, this is very wide ranging. It's everything from drug discovery to tests for COVID to combating Alzheimer's.
This is the interesting thing. So my background really is obesity, diabetes, cardiometabolic disease. But it was interesting, like I said, you know, when a challenge presents itself, you can switch and you can think slightly differently. So when COVID-19 came around, I got contacted by an SME saying, we've got this fantastic new platform we're trying to develop, and we think it would be amazing for development of COVID-19 tests as those mutants were coming around. So we reopened our labs. We got funding from the Scottish Government to try and develop much better and sensitive tests. So as I say, as a biochemist, you can use your knowledge from your early training to actually change disease. You're not defined by the disease. So likewise with Alzheimer's, I went to an interesting talk by a translational neuroscientist. And I thought, gosh, everything that she was talking about, we work on, but in the context of diabetes. And that's how we struck up a collaboration, which has now been ongoing for 10 years.
Oh, that's brilliant. Now, Robin, I'm reluctant to tell my 13-year-old that you exist, because if he knew there was such a thing as a professor of game design and culture, he might start thinking that time on the PS4 counts as studying.
My children both want to work in games, and they're around about the same age. But what I found is that it's increasingly moving more and more towards online and digital culture generally. So they're very interested in streaming and media and communication beyond just games. But you know what? If you told me that you could be a professor of game design when I was 13, that would have been very helpful. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I knew that I had an interest in that area and in creativity, but I hadn't really seen it as a career choice.
Given how important gaming is to the UK economy, you would think there would be loads of equivalent professors to you. Is that the case, or are they few and far between?
It's actually quite diverse. I think the way that I approach games, and I think this is sometimes helpful, especially when I'm talking to my students as well, is understanding that games isn't really an academic discipline. It's more a mode of communication and social engagement. And therefore, actually, there's many, many more people involved and interested in games academically, including professors. But they tend to come from all walks of life, which is interesting because it speaks to the nature of Scottish Crucible, really the games sector as an industry, but also as an academic area in the UK, which is quite well established as well. It is really a melting pot of computer scientists, human-computer interaction specialists, psychologists, designers, artists, animators, all such different folks work in this space.
You called it a melting pot, and of course, another word for a melting pot is crucible, which is very handy here as well. And for those who aren't aware of it, it might be worth just saying why you're in Dundee. It's not just that there is Abertay University in Dundee, there is a whole centre of the games industry there.
It is, yeah. It's one of the main centres in the UK. One of the interesting things is that actually a lot of the manufacturing of computers in the 1980s, including the ZX Spectrum, actually took place in Dundee. And that was a kind of genesis for some of the early game developers, including DMA Design, who went on to make Grand Theft Auto and Lemmings, why they originated in Dundee. And really, Abertay is a knock-on effect of that. It was the emergence of this new creative sector in Dundee in the 1980s that was the foundation for a university like Abertay, which is quite a small, lean university, and was a very new university at that time in the 90s, why they wanted to try and tackle this as a new, interesting academic subject.
So you've said your role isn't a strictly kind of scientific one. What is your job's remit, and what is your research remit?
So I say a professor of game design and culture. So I see that as being two sides of different types of research, if you like. One is that primarily, I see myself as a games creative. I'm a maker. Most of my research really is practice-based and experimental, so making games is kind of what I do a lot of the time. One of the games I've been working on more recently, for instance, is a board game in collaboration with one of my colleagues, which is around safe walking in urban spaces for women. And that's something that we're trying to push quite hard just now in terms of how that could be used in educational settings. But on the other side, the cultural aspects of what I do is more about what are the role of games within wider society. So I was quite heavily involved in one of the Arts and Humanities Research Council funded creative industries clusters, which was in Dundee, which was in game. And a lot of that was similar to the ethos of Scottish Crucible, and that it was about bringing people together and finding out ways to connect different types of stakeholder. And I think that's part of my role. So I've been collaborating with organizations like RNIB, for instance, on ways of improving accessibility for players with sight loss. And that's been having kind of really strong impacts on what I still kind of really see as my main job, which is about education. We've got quite a lot of startup companies in Dundee, startup games companies, that is. Almost all of whom are Abertay graduates, and a lot of them are my former students. I couldn't really have done if I hadn't done Crucible, because it was about leadership and it was about making these connections. And I think trying to bring benefits to other people around me and making their work stronger as a result, that's kind of how I see my role.
And maybe it's a bit of a stretch, but you could say that the Scottish Crucible is a sort of form of gamification. It's a classic learning through playing.
It definitely is, yeah. Well, it's rule-based, so that's the main thing for me. So any kind of game must be rule-based. There must be freedom of movement within it. That's another kind of definition of play. But I think it's also got really clear objectives in there, and it's bringing people together, and it's kind of generating new knowledge and new ideas. And, I mean, looking back, some of the people I connected with in my Crucible cohort, we connected properly for the first time through one of the games within Scottish Crucible, which would have been the kind of almost speed dating type workshop that we've done. And I still collaborate with those people today. So it's a really useful form of gamification.
Yes, I think we officially call it speed networking, but everybody always calls it speed dating instead. So that's fine. The fact that you're all here today obviously shows you still have some affection for Scottish Crucible, but is it a sort of fond memory or something you think about and draw on every day? And I'm going to start with Mirella.
Yeah, it's definitely a fond experience. I have to say, my husband did a couple of years after me. I think he was probably in Emily's cohort, actually, because I recommended it so highly and wouldn't stop talking about it. I think there's that sense of belonging as well. So every year we were invited to the next cohort's graduation, as I would call it. And you could see that kind of spark and enthusiasm and exhaustion in everyone. And it's just been, I think it's been a wonderful experience of kind of building up networks. And what I found interesting is within Scotland, at least when Young Academy of Scotland was formed X many years ago, I can't even remember anymore. Half of the members in the first cohort that I was part of were coming from Scottish Crucible. And that tells you something. It tells you that the people who were kind of, you know, developing those skills as future leaders were actually kind of following that path. And now even within the Royal Society of Edinburgh, so many of alumni from Scottish Crucible and Young Academy of Scotland are part of it. So it is definitely, I would say, a friendship circle. And also anytime I have needed kind of help or a new collaboration, I could easily tap into any of the Cruciblists. As I said, it's a friendship circle more than just a leadership development program.
Yes, it's not something you do and then it's done. It's something you add and it's always with you. Emily?
Absolutely.
Those alumni dinners were really, really important in fostering relationship, not within your year cohort, but also across cohorts. And I think it's evident pretty much every day of my working life that I am in contact with someone who has done Crucible, and it's a mindset. You know that those people have gone through a program, an experience, which sets them maybe apart in terms of how they think and how they anticipate new collaboration or relationship. And I think that's really useful because it gives you a very strong foundation to build on, even though you might not have really met those people before, or you might not know much about them, but just this Crucible connection makes it quite particular.
Robin?
I still do think about Scottish Crucible quite frequently. I think not only because I'm still in contact with people that I kind of met through Scottish Crucible and collaborate with and are kind of call my friends now, but also because I think it has shaped the way that I think about my practice as an academic, as a lecturer, as a teacher. You know, I get emails most weeks from people who are looking to learn more about games, how it might benefit their company or their organization, or if they're another academic from their department, how they might connect with us. And I think every time I get one of those emails or phone calls, whenever I chat to someone, I think I'm quite mindful of the fact that what I'm doing is something that I learned how to do through Scottish Crucible, or appreciated why this was an important thing to do. So yeah, I think it does impact most of what I do.
Thank you. We could go on, but actually we can't go on because we're out of time. My thanks to all three of you. Emily Combe, Professor of Human Nutrition at the University of Glasgow and Director of SCAF, the Scottish Alliance for Food. Mirela Dilibegovic, Research Director at the Aberdeen Cardiovascular and Diabetes Centre and Professor in Diabetes Physiology and Signalling at the University of Aberdeen. And Robin Sloan, Professor of Game Design and Culture at Abertay University. If you've enjoyed this, I really hope you have. There are more of these talking to not just Scottish crucibleists but European crucibleists, sometimes about their projects, sometimes about their involvement in Crucible, and sometimes a bit of both.